Tonight, as I begin this message tonight, I want to show you a 45-second video, so you got to watch quick. For some of you, this will be nostalgia. For some of this will be the first time you've ever seen anything like this in your life. But these are several Kool-Aid commercials, if you will. How many know what Kool-Aid is? Okay, I got. How many don't know what Kool-Aid is? Okay, one or two of you. All right. So these are several Kool-Aid commercials. Let's watch for 45 seconds and then let's talk about it.
Hey, Kool-Aid man, do you play an instrument?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
More fun and half the sugar of leading regular sodas. Kool-Aid Jammers.
Oh yeah.
Hey Kool-Aid man, are you good at hiding?
Dude, I can see you. Everybody can see you.
Oh yeah.
Stir up some fun with 50% less sugar than leading regular sodas. New Kool-Aid Easy Mix.
Oh yeah.
Hey Kool-Aid man, are you strong?
Boom.
Jam in more fun with half the sugar of leading regular sodas. Kool-Aid Jammers.
Oh, yeah!
I think that's it. Those are funny commercials. You know, coming up as a kid in the 70s, I don't know about you, I don't know about your neighborhood, but my neighborhood, oh, man, every house you went to, they had Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid was a special drink back then. You know, back there in the 70s, we didn't know... We know it had all that sugar in it, but anyway, you got to put a third of a bag of sugar in some Kool-Aid. But Kool-Aid was the drink, man. You came to anybody's house, you was going to get you some red Kool-Aid. Or, you know, they had different flavors or whatever. But, man, Kool-Aid, man, we drank Kool-Aid. You went to any picnic, anywhere you went, man, back in the day, man. I don't know what, everybody's different today. There's lots of choices and all. But back in the day, there were very few choices, and the one that most people chose was some Kool-Aid, and everybody loved Kool-Aid back then, you know. But if you're a member of the black community, black folk love some Kool-Aid now. Black folk love, you go to a black person's house in the 70s, you're going to get you some red Kool-Aid, I'm going to tell you. No, Kool-Aid was just one of those beverages. But there came this saying, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Anybody ever heard that expression, don't drink the Kool-Aid, don't drink the Kool-Aid? That became embedded in our culture. That phrase, don't drink the Kool-Aid, well, really, that originates out of 1978. Sad, Jonestown, Guyana. Beautiful people. 918 people lost their lives in a murder-suicide following a cult leader named Jim Jones. And as his cult was being discovered, he ordered people to drink Kool-Aid that was mixed with cyanide, murder-suicide. And he ordered that people who didn't drink the Kool-Aid be shot. And 918 some odd people, terrible tragedy, terrible events there in Guyana. Over 300 of them were children, lost their lives, murder-suicide. And so they drank that Kool-Aid, which was a sweetened mixture that had cyanide in it. The Kool-Aid had poison in it. It wasn't the Kool-Aid that killed the people. It was the cyanide in the Kool-Aid that killed the people. They drank the Kool-Aid just to get it down. And so sometime after those tragic events, then this phrase in our culture became very popular, don't drink the Kool-Aid. And it became synonymous with don't swallow anything that's going to be harmful. Don't blindly accept anything or swallow things that are going to be considered figuratively poisonous to you. And so that phrase that many of you identified, that you still identify, that you've heard, don't drink the Kool-Aid, came from that incident. To be fair to Kool-Aid, it wasn't really Kool-Aid that they drank in Guyana. It was Flavor-Aid. Flavor-Aid was a cheap version of Kool-Aid. And I know Kraft and all the people who made Kool-Aid, they were incensed that people took their product and said it was Kool-Aid. It was really, to be factual, it was Flavor-Aid that they drank. So let me just say that to correct it. But this phrase, don't drink the Kool-Aid, I want you to look at somebody tonight and tell them, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't swallow anything you shouldn't. Look at somebody else tonight and tell them, don't drink the Kool-Aid. And that, my friends, is my title for tonight. don't drink the Kool-Aid. Let's go right to the word. Hebrews chapter 12, if you will. I'm reading from the New Living, the New Living. I want to thank Andrew, Brother Andrew Wolf, and Sister Teresa Hurd, and Josh Nygaard. They're always so kind to get my videos up and ready for me. Give all of them a big hand. I appreciate every single one of them. Brother Andrew's up there where you can't see him, but they got my videos together, and they always are so kind and gracious to do that. We're in Hebrews chapter 12 tonight, asking the Lord, Lord, what should we share? What should we share on this particular evening with this particular group? And you know, praying in the Spirit, asking the Lord, waiting on Him. This is the message that we got. This is the message that we feel we're supposed to share for tonight. We're going to read from Hebrews 12. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, verses 14 and 15, if you will. Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Hebrews 12, 14. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. I'm going to read that part again. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. And so the scripture warns us to watch out so that no poisonous root of bitterness will corrupt us. It says that watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness corrupt you. No poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. So there's danger to the individual, and there's danger to individuals around the individual. Now, you know, I have fun playing golf, and, you know, when I hit my ball, if my ball goes offline and goes into the weeds, you know, I'm always concerned there might be poison ivy in there. You know, golf courses are full of poison ivy. And so even when I'm hitting a Pro V1, you know what a Pro V1 ball is? That's a real good ball. That means you paid more money for that ball. Now, I got friends, if they hit a Pro V1, they'll go in the lake and get it. If they hit a Pro V1, they'll go out in the street and get it. I'm always the guy saying, leave the ball alone. It's just a golf ball. Man, is there any poison ivy in there? And my ball yesterday went into the weeds. But you could see it right there. And my buddy said, there's your ball right there. And I said, is there any poison ivy in there? And he said, I don't know. How do you know? And I said, you know, there's that saying, leaves of three, let it be. Leaves of three, let it be. You have to be careful about stuff on a golf course. I was playing golf in South Carolina one time, and you know, South Carolina, they have some alligators down there, so it says watch out for the gators, and so then it said we were playing on this course. It said there are snakes in the woods and gators in the water. So the course had signs on it: don't go around the water to get your ball, and don't go in the woods to get your ball. My friend hit a ball in the woods, and guess what he did? He went in there to go get it. But he came running out like he had been shot out of a cannon. I thought a snake had got him. A little tiny deer chased him out. No, leaves the three, let it be. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to have, how many, you don't want to mess around with any poison ivy. Because you get poison ivy on you, you're a danger, not just to you. You're a danger to everybody around you. You ever been around anybody with poison ivy? Man, you better be careful. You better, hey, whoa, you got poison ivy. You know, there was a song back, what, 1959 when I was born. It was a popular song, Poison Ivy. You're going to need an ocean of calamine lotion if you get poison ivy. Anybody ever had poison ivy? You know what I'm talking about. You don't want no poison ivy. Because you touch something, and then you touch somebody, and all of a sudden, they got poison ivy. And the scripture here gives that kind of warning about a poisonous root of bitterness, that you've got to be careful to watch out. You've got to be more careful than watching out for poison ivy on any old golf course. You've got to watch out for poison ivy because you don't want to get it, and you don't want people around you to get it. And so often when there's a poisonous root of bitterness that grows up in somebody, when the people they're around, if they're not careful, they get that thing. And so the scripture gives an ominous warning. Watch out, watch out. That no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting or infecting many. I want to say three things to you tonight quickly that we feel the Lord would have us say these three things to you. Number one, watch out for the poison of wrong words. Number two, watch out for the poison of wrong thinking. And number three, watch out for the poison of unforgiveness. Can we talk about it just for a minute? Let's go back to the poison of wrong words. The poison of wrong words. The scripture admonishes you and I to watch out because wrong words are a poison. They are poisonous. Go with me to James chapter 3. So many people have lived their lives and caught poison bitterness, the poison ivy of bitterness, because wrong words were spoken over them. Yeah. There are so many people today, and an unwise adult spoke regularly wrong words over them. No doubt you know somebody where an unwise adult has said to them, you ain't gonna be nothing, you can't do it, you'll never amount to anything. And that is poison. When you hear words like that, watch out. Because those words are akin to poison. When you convince somebody that they have no value and that they are somehow worthless or they are somehow worth less than someone else, the scripture says, watch out for that kind of poison. And so we have to be mindful of the poison of wrong words. In James chapter 3, the scripture says at verse 2, indeed, this is New Living Translation, indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go. Even though the winds are strong, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark, meaning a tiny spark from the tongue, can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless. It is restless and evil, full of what? Deadly poison. Yeah. That's talking about the untamed tongue. That's talking about a tongue that has not been yielded to the control of the mighty Holy Spirit. Now, this is an unruly, untamed tongue. But the scripture gives us to know right here in chapter 3 that an untamed tongue is full of deadly poison. And when people speak wrong words over you, you have to be careful not to drink. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. When somebody tells you that you're not going to make it, you have to be careful. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Somebody tells you that you are of lesser value. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. God has assigned something to you, and someone comes along inevitably and tells you why, all the reasons why you can't do that. I said, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Because you and God in you, I wish I had an amen in here. I said, you and God in you are a majority. People will tell you, you're too old to do that. But I came to tell you, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Somebody will tell you, you're too young to do that. But I came to tell you, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Someone will tell you, you don't have enough background and education to do that. But I came to tell you, don't drink the Kool-Aid. As they say, if God said it, I believe it, and that ought to settle it. Don't drink the poison of those words. We have to beware of the poison of wrong words. Wrong words can be deadly. Wrong words. Over in Proverbs 16:24, if you will, Proverbs 16:24. And if you could, all my helpers there, if you could give me this one in the New American Standard. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bone. I like that. Pleasant words, the right words, the right words. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. They're sweet to the soul and healing all the way down to the bone. Yeah, the right words. And so when there's been a pattern of wrong words spoken over you, you are gonna have to spit out the poison. Because God is speaking the right words over you. Over in Proverbs 25:11, give me that one in the New American Standard, if you will. Proverbs 25:11. Proverbs 25:11. Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Oh my. Like apples of gold and settings of silver. A word spoken in the right circumstances. It can bring healing to you. So many people have had a negative word spoken over them. Negative words, negative words, negative words. And the Lord sent me here to remind you to beware, be cautious of the poison of wrong words. Wrong words will mess you up. And someone has tried to inject the wrong words in you, over you, and you have to spit that out. Accept the words of Christ over you. Those are fitting words. Those are right words. Those are anointed words. Those are prophetic words. His words over you. The poison of wrong words. And you don't want to let the poison of wrong words come out of your mouth. I wish I had an amen here. Because the Bible said that blessing and cursing shouldn't come out of the same fountain. And we ought not be blessing God on the one hand and cursing our brother or sister on the other hand. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. We ought to guard our tongue from being used for poisonous purposes. And you should not want your tongue to poison someone, to speak poison over someone. I remember a young man, he'd fallen back. He had come out of a life on crack. You know, he'd been on crack, and he had a relapse, and he fell back on crack, but just for a couple of days, and then he came to his senses and he got free, and that had been years ago. He hadn't had any trouble since then, but he said, after that, everybody spoke negative to me, but he called me. He said, you know, Pastor Bill, no matter when I called you, or no matter when I came to see you, he said, you would look deep in my eyes, and you wouldn't call me by my name. You would always call me man of God. I remember that because I felt the Holy Ghost tell me to do that. Because that's the last, he felt like, you know, people were saying, well, you're not going to make it in ministry now. You're not going to make it. You're not going to be successful. But the Holy Ghost told me to call him a man of God. Yeah. And he said, those words just went right down to my spirit. Words can be so powerful. You can yield your tongue to the Holy Ghost and he can speak words through you of such encouragement to somebody else that they can live on those words 6 months. They can live on those words for a year. The power of your yielded tongue, your tongue yielded to the Holy Ghost, the power of that, I said, God can bring life to someone. Beware of the poison of wrong words. Secondly, beware of the poison of wrong thinking. Wrong thinking will get us into trouble every single time. Beware of the poison of wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. Oh, my. Go to Acts 14 with me. Acts 14. the poison of wrong thinking. There is a Holy Ghost warning that you and I be mindful, be very cautious about the poison of wrong thinking. We know this, wrong thinking and wrong believing is the greatest enemy to the church. Someone said, no, Brother Bill, the devil is the greatest enemy to the church. No, the devil is the greatest enemy of the church. He's a great enemy of the church, but he's a defeated foe. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Jesus already defeated him. He's not the greatest enemy. He is an enemy, but he's not the greatest enemy to you and I. The greatest enemy to is our own wrong thinking, listen to me now, and wrong believing. That's a greater enemy to you than Satan, the enemy. He is an enemy. Yes, he is. But our own wrong thinking and wrong believing. The scripture says here in Acts 14, verse 2, some of the Jews, this is New Living, some of the Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. Isn't that something? Paul and Barnabas were speaking the truth. They were getting people born again, and some of the Jewish people came along and poisoned the minds of people trying to hear the gospel. And I tell you, a poisoned mind will doom you to defeat. The scripture warns us of the danger of the poison of wrong thinking. Go with me to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel 18 in the New Living. 1 Samuel chapter 18 in the New Living. 1 Samuel chapter 18 in the New Living. Beware of the danger. Beware of the poison of wrong words. Beware of the poison of wrong thinking. That's what we're talking about now. The poison of wrong thinking. Here in 1 Samuel 18, verse 6, this is what happened right after David killed the giant. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home, 1 Samuel 18, 6, when the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine, women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced with joy, with tambourines and cymbals. And this was their song. Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his what? 10,000s. And this made Saul very angry. You know why Saul was angry? The poison of wrong thinking is why he was angry. He should have been so full of joy. He should have been so happy. David had fought a battle he wouldn't fought. David had gone to fight the giant that Saul would not fight. He should have been the happiest person there. Verse 8, this made Saul very angry. What's this? He said. They credit David with 10,000s and me only with thousands. Next, they'll be making him their king. So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The very next day, a tormenting spirit. Look, you know, the thing is, we've got to beware of the poison of wrong thinking. And so often we're thinking thoughts that aren't even true. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. You thinking thoughts about people down there on your job, what they think about you. I know they saying this about me. I know the people. I know they saying this about me. They saying that about me. They said, I know they said, I know they're doing that. I know what they thinking about me. And you wrong again. I said, them people ain't paying a bit more attention to you. Brother won't get no amen teaching like that. I said, we have to be aware of the poison of wrong thinking. There's some goofy man somewhere thinking, well, my wife, you know, this is what she thinking. She thinking this about me. Well, she got another thing coming. She thinking this about me. I'm going to tell you about what she ain't going to do. She ain't going to say that to me. I'm telling my wife ain't going to do it. Wait a minute. That's the poison of wrong thinking. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. There's some goofy woman somewhere saying, well, my husband, you know, he ain't said, I tell you right now, I ain't going to, I know what he's thinking. I know what he's thinking about me. That man ain't going to think that about me. That matter. I know what he's going to do. I know what he's thinking. Y'all, that's the poison of wrong thinking. We have got to resist the poison of wrong thinking. Saul, the king of Israel, would not resist the poison of wrong thinking. He should have had great thoughts about David. He should have had high thoughts about David. He should have had blessed thoughts about David. But he allowed poisonous thoughts to destroy him. Woman, don't let some poisonous thought about your husband come in your mind. Brother won't get no amen teaching like that. I said, man, don't let some poisonous thought from the devil about your wife enter your mind? And you know, the scripture instructs you and I to think the best of one or two people. The scripture instructs you and I to think the best of everybody. I said, when did we get to start thinking the worst of people? You would think the scripture said, think the worst of everybody you meet. If you meet somebody today, think the worst about them. No, the scripture admonishes you and I to think the best of everybody that we meet. We must beware of the poison of wrong words. And we must beware of the poison of wrong thinking. And we must beware of the poison of unforgiveness. Let's spend our last few moments and talk about the poison of unforgiveness for a moment. Because unforgiveness will jack us up. Unforgiveness will mess us up. Unforgiveness will hook us up. Can you show me Mark 11:26 in the New American Standard? My helper's in the video room. Mark 11:26 in the New American Standard, if you will. But if you do not forgive, this is Jesus talking, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. Wow. We need to quote that more. I said, while we're quoting and believing how to receive from the Lord, that's the number one hindrance to not receiving from the Lord. The poison of unforgiveness. Don't let the poison of unforgiveness hinder you. Over in Genesis chapter 50, look over there with me in the New Living. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, or start at 19. Genesis 50 and verse 19, if you will. The poison of unforgiveness. But Joseph replied, "Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children." So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. And Joseph provided for 75 people every night to sit at his table. 75 of his brothers and their families, his kinfolk. The poison of unforgiveness. It's an old adage, but it is nonetheless powerfully true. Unforgiveness is like you drinking poison yourself and then waiting for the other person to die. Don't drink the poison of unforgiveness. And I'm not justifying things that people do and things have happened to people and people have been hurt and it never should have happened. But don't you accept it. Watch out for the poison of wrong words. Watch out for the poison of wrong thinking. Watch out for the poison of unforgiveness. Let me take these last 2 minutes and say three more things in conclusion to you that are so very important. Three reasons why you should forgive others. You should forgive others, number one, because God's forgiven you and he's empowered you to forgive others. I said you should forgive others because you yourself have been forgiven by the Lord and he's also empowered you to forgive other people. That love of Christ has been shed abroad in your heart. You should forgive others so that bitterness will not control your life. Forgive others so that bitterness will not control you. So many people today are chained to their past. They're chained to an event in their past that sadly never should have happened. They endured something they never should have endured, but they can't seem to get free from it. They're shackled to it, and they can't get free from it emotionally. They can't get free from it physically. They can't get free from it spiritually because they've not learned how to forgive. You should forgive because God has forgiven you and he has empowered you to forgive others. You should forgive so that bitterness will not control you. And you should forgive so that you can continue yourself to be forgiven. Last scripture, Matthew 6:14-15, if you will, New Living. Matthew 6:14-15, last scripture tonight. Matthew 6:14-15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. And how about verse 15? But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. For us to continue to forgive, to experience that unconditional forgiveness, we have to reach beyond ourselves and forgive other people. Let's pray together tonight. Father, we've endeavored in these few minutes to share along these lines that we believe you laid upon our heart. Don't drink the Kool-Aid of wrong words, the Kool-Aid of wrong thinking, the Kool-Aid of unforgiveness. Father, I pray you help your people tonight. So many have been through hurtful, hurtful, painful circumstances. And yet they're here today. But emotionally, mentally, they're still tied to what's happened to them. We pray that you would free them and set them free and help them tonight. Touch people tonight. Heal people every place they hurt. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you need something from the Lord, these anointed men and women are coming, and they'll agree with you in prayer, and you won't leave here like you came. Something from the message tonight touched your heart. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you, speaking to your spirit. Don't get up and walk out. Listen to him. Come on forward. If you're a woman, come to the women. If you're a guy, come to the guy. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night, Hour of Power. God bless you, one and all.